I, like all preachers, suffer the Elijah syndrome. You wonder sometimes if there's anybody out there that has the character to love the different. You know, we have this attitude where we reduce God down to our size, and then anyone who doesn't conform is ungodly. I, like Gordon Fee, had to pursue the rebuilding of my faith. My biggest challenge, and yet the greatest contribution to my development, was to do my doctorate on Reinhold Niebuhr's theology, study under Lex Miller, the famous New Zealand theologian, who had studied under Karl Barth and had been Reinhold Niebuhr's assistant at Union. And what I was able to glean from the integrity of those men, I regretted that Reinie, as we would call him, could never make the full jump to the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in transforming lives, and either the born-again experience, the elements, the sacraments, or the Holy Spirit. But what he was able to teach and pierce through the stuff about the reality of sin and its nature, and that bent in human nature that takes us from God and our need of God, this man who was the front runner of liberalism, that had his liberal views of man's goodness and education as the solution, and sin being ignorance, blown apart by two world wars and by the Industrial Revolution, as he took his church from 100 to 1,000 in Detroit. And I've often said, you know, I wonder what would happen to a preacher today if God were to tell him what he did to Isaiah, just walk naked around town. I doubt there'd be a fellow preacher decent enough to run with a bathrobe and hand it to him. They'd just stand at a distance with binoculars and criticize. Or how about Hosea? Go, modern context, go out on Sunset Strip, pick up one of those things. I'm going to use that experience and have kids with her to teach what I really feel about my betrothed being as unfaithful as one of those to me. I remember years ago confronting a situation and going to my mother and dad and saying, what do I do? And the answer became very clear, what Paul said, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Stigmata, a brand placed in the body of a bondslave, identifying him as belonging to a particular master. Henceforth let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I made a decision years ago to follow God. But sometimes it gets lonely. I got the most beautiful letter. Where is it? It's here somewhere. I'm not going to read the letter, but I have what's better. I have a book written by the writer of the letter, Dr. Gregory S. Neal. How can you go wrong with a book entitled Grace Upon Grace? He wrote a letter expressing his love and appreciation for what we're doing, particularly the message of grace and faith and integrity on television. Let it be known that he had watched, and he was, and I understand this agony, because I have people who call me and say, can you recommend a church in our area? Well, I can now in Wichita Falls, Texas, but it's difficult to transfer the trust of your congregation and say, I can recommend that you listen to this person. He paid me the wonderful compliment of saying that he could feel comfortable telling his people to listen. Watch me. Dr. Gregory S. Neal, pastor of Beverly Drive United Methodist Church, Wichita Falls, Texas. Graduate of Southern Methodist University and Duke University. Extensive work, which comes out in his book, Biblical Studies, Languages, Systematic Theology, Worship and the Sacraments. Ordained minister of the United Methodist Church. But I read enough between the lines in his book, like Gordon Fee, he follows his heart and his mind and integrity within. Thank God for some denominations that allow you that flexibility. He's going to go with what his heart and inner witness tells him, though a loyal and consistent identified member of his fellowship by choice and training over the years. He served as pastor of the churches in North Carolina and North Texas. He's written his book. And you know, I gobbled it up immediately. I read it the day I got it. And I thought, wow, you got to love a man who says, saving faith is an action. It's a way of life. Faith without action isn't even faith. In the Greek language, saving faith is the verb pistuo, which is pronounced pistuo. And in this instance, means an action based upon belief, grounded in confidence. Right there. And look. Now, we don't have to talk about, so many people are so prone to talk about their disagreements. How many times have told you, and you know, I have many guests today, so I'm doing my message in sequences. I'll get it in pieces as we go along. I often draw a circle and say, when I lost my faith, I came back, and there was a solid dot in the middle of that circle. After 3.5 years, I laid that last book down and I said, there's no other explanation. He came out of that tomb. Now what next? What next? And point by point, like a circle with dots, I built my faith again. I was so hard-headed, I wasn't even going to take the record of history and the scholars before me on which books. That's why I collected this magnificent over the years Bible collection. And I've spent another 3 years on Jesus' use of the Old Testament. If he put a stamp of approval upon it once the resurrection put, as Paul said so well to those on Mars Hill, God's stamp on him and the vindication of what he claimed to be, then I'm going to take his books that he quotes with authority a little prior than the ones that he missed. I found after a while the book grabbed me in its wholeness, and that I was just retracing steps that scholars before me had taken. But my faith was built that way. Another little gray dot gets solid, and then I move to another one, and it's like dots, in a, like the universe as we explore it, as I keep expanding my faith. And so many people want to spend all the time arguing about where it's a little gray. Some things are gray, it's pretty obvious, axiomatic on its face, because the church has fought about it for 2,000 years. So these gray areas are fun to debate, but it's the core areas. I remember when Canon Brian Green of the Anglican Church would only come here. More than anyone, he contributed to my faith in its restoration in his trips to Stanford. And Canon Brian Green and Billy Graham of the Anglican Church, our last meeting of joy in Melbourne, where he laid hands on me. But this was the only place he would come, and come annually for several years in his late 80s to be on TV, and such a joyous time it was. And we had our little student professor type debates, but it was the core area, and I remember he wept as he laid hands on me in Melbourne's great cathedral, and I was preaching at another church across town. And he said, Gene, I'm being criticized by so many in my fellowship until I'm independently looking for people that will preach the subject that we've lost, grace. And it was such a fount of water to get this letter from Dr. Neal. And then I read about the communion. And he comments on the outright blasphemous demand that Christians be worthy in order to partake of the elements. And then I raced over. And then he puts, quoting 1 Corinthians 11, to put it simply, does this not mean that we have to be worthy or sinless or even have all our sins confessed in order to partake of the sacrament? Worthy in this passage is used as an adverb, not an adjective, and as such, it modifies the act, not the actor. I thought I was going to start dancing. Now, we've only got another hour. Dr. Neal, thank you for your letter. Thank you for your encouragement to me. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Come up here. I want to meet you.
God bless you.
Yeah, bless you.
You know, Pentecostal, I don't know what, Wesleyan Methodist, this is rock-ribbed theology back to the great days of the Wesleyan revivals. Welcome to this congregation. That microphone's yours. Say whatever you want to say.
It is a humble honor, a terrifying honor. I don't normally eat before I speak, and we had bagels this morning, thank you. It's a humble honor, it's also an incredible experience to go through this building, to see the record of God's Word. Downstairs, the papyri, the copies of Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, the work that I did came back to me when I worked in preserving papyrus manuscripts. It was an incredible experience, and to see it, and to see something that I have prayed for, and it's to see that work be introduced to the people of God in a way that can be understood, can be grasped, can be lived. And as I searched the internet and the idiot voices on it, I meet friends and they direct me, one directed me, to the website of someone who I'd seen many years ago when I was doing a degree paper on, of all things, British Israelism. And I thought, oh, I've seen him before. He's a little thinner. And he is indeed still the most incredible teacher I have ever seen. His devotion to Scripture, his devotion to teaching, believing that everyone who is graced by God to hear and understand can, and you don't need to leave that brain outside those doors. And especially coming from a sacramental tradition, as I am, a man who believes that God's grace can move through a congregation can be appropriated by faith through the taking of the elements and the sacrament of Holy Communion, regardless of differences of opinion and interpretation. Those are unimportant. What's important is understanding and accepting that Jesus Christ is here, really present, giving his grace and empowering the body of Christ. Right? And I praise God that I have been truly honored to meet one of the best, most incredible, I don't know what other adjectives to use, one of the best teachers and pastors in the United States in the second half of the 20th and now the first half of the 21st century. God bless you, Doc.
God love you. This is wrong with the other forever.
Friends in Texas, and there are many who are watching. I have people here that drive from San Francisco to be here on Sunday, drive from Hemet, drive hundreds of miles. Last Sunday we had folks here from Ireland. I can recommend a church, United Methodist Church, Wichita Falls, Texas. They didn't need my recommendation. I'm glad to be able to tell the folks in Texas there's a church they can get to. Go there. You've just met the pastor who honors me with a friendship I hope will last until we rejoice around the throne over there.